Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass, making sure everything sounds great. He always does. It's the Buckmaster Show for Monday. It's April 11th, 2022. In our 12th year on the radio here in Tucson, 34th year now of television and radio in Tucson, our program broadcasts from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Take the live feed from kvoi.com. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and I would be remiss if I didn't say today is National Pet Day. I love my little pet, Prissy the Glamour Cat, my little black and white cat who right now is at home, I am sure, in a very deep sleep after her wonderful breakfast that she enjoyed today. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe and his family. They didn't get off the bus yesterday. They came to town in 1985. Well, they've been in town a long time, actually longer than 1985, but that's the year they started the business. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. What that means is that Moe will gladly come out to your home and make sure that your particular piece is framed and it's been framed and that it's ready for the wall just the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our Monday political face-off kicks off with our team of commentators this week. Seated to my right, Bill Maynard is here. Bill is now the former chair of Legislative District 11 for the Pima County GOP. District 11 now is the new Legislative District number 17. But Bill, it's good to see you. You're starting a new Republican organization. We'll hear from that in a moment. Let me first introduce Bonnie Heidler. It's good to see you. Welcome Bonnie back to the program. Bonnie is the chairwoman of the Pima County Democratic Party. Bonnie, how are you?
Great. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Bill, I know you're excited about this. You're calling it the Northwest Republican Association.
That's great. Great. Yeah, we're very excited about it. We came up with the idea some time ago, a small group of precinct committeemen and officers, to start this club. And as we talked through it, we said, well, we want it to be not just another club. Mm-hmm. And we came up with the term association, because mm-hmm. we'll have guest speakers, we'll have calls to actions. Mm-hmm. We won't get down in the minutia of precinct committeemen and that sort of thing. But we're really excited about it.
And you'll meet monthly?
We'll meet monthly, second Saturday morning of each month.
If somebody's interested, what should they do?
Contact me. You can forward.
Okay, I will forward.
You forward the information.
Any email, if anybody's interested, I'll forward their email to you, Bill Maynard.
That'd be great.
Bonnie, I noticed, and I forwarded, speaking of forwarding, I forwarded you the Republican newsletter, the E-Tracks, that mm-hmm. comes out. Bill, does that come out every week?
It comes out Monday morning.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there was something in there that caught my eye. It was talking about signs, political signs, and there was a quote in there that Democrats encourage stealing of all of our signs, meaning Republican signs. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, it's illegal. So the Democratic Party would not be telling people to do something illegal. And we've never been organized to steal the signs, nor would we. There's no point to that.
So there's no organized campaign that
Absolutely
you all get
not.
Together and say, you know, there's some signs over there that really need to come down.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, Bill, I know you're not really happy with that quote either.
No, I took exception to it as soon as I read it, as mm-hmm. I pointed out to you earlier.
Right.
There was, I know that Chairwoman Heisler and their team wouldn't do that.
No.
Would not, absolutely not encourage people to steal signs.
Yeah, and it is illegal. And the signs, by the way, are supposed to come down legally after the election, I think within a couple of days.
Well,
I don't know.
They have a certain period of time. That's true.
Very little bit from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
downtown.
All right, I want to move on to this whole redistricting situation. The Arizona, the state Democratic Party, Bonnie, has asked the Republican Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, to investigate the redistricting decisions that give a political edge to three GOP state senators. The Democratic Party eventually might seek to have the legislative maps redrawn. I know you are not at all happy about your particular district, which is also Bill's district. It is now the redrawn legislative district 17.
Correct. And it unfortunately doesn't follow the rules per the Arizona Constitution as to how they are to be drawn. They're supposed to be under a 2 to 4 point spread. We have an 8 point spread. And so it's going to make it very, very difficult. It also was created, and the party did do some investigation for Vince Leach to give him a safe district.
Senator Leach?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, that's called gerrymandering. Mm-hmm. And we have an independent commission, unfortunately, that didn't appear as independent as it should
have. The five-member commission, right?
Yes.
And you say it's not as independent as it should have been.
Exactly, yes.
And Bill, what do you say to that about this point spread? I guess you could call it a point spread, right? You said, Bonnie, it's what, eight points?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I would point to some of the Democrat spreads much greater than that. And to point out, there's only one Republican member of the legislature that resides in Pima County. That's Mark Fincham.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they could have been redrawn better, Tucson divided up better than that. You know, it's difficult. You do have the two Republicans, two Democrats, and one independent. Legal counsel for the Republican, legal counsel for, and hundreds of hearings. As I understand, thousands of maps that were submitted.
Both of you attended a bunch meetings, right?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
I saw Bonnie frequently
okay.
there.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. No.
Yeah.
And we spoke about it and so forth, and many in my area didn't include some of the area that got included because we were Oral Valley, Marana, the Saddlebrook, and that sort of place. And the old redistricting, we even went up to the town of Maricopa. The old LD11 mm-hmm. went up to the town of Maricopa. But
isn't there something, though, Bonnie, about over the mountain?
Yeah, well, yeah. This is
over the mountain and through the hills.
This is probably
Grandma's house we go. Go ahead.
The Bonnie. Largest district in the state that's divided by a mountain range, and you cannot drive from one end of the district to the other end of the district. You have to go through other districts to get to the other end of the district.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult because it's two completely different areas divided by a mountain range. And so that makes it very difficult for campaigning for any of the, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat candidate. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. As you're saying, if you just looked at the map,
right.
it wasn't topographic. Well, it looks like it's one large contiguous effort. I actually set up the organization meeting for the new LD17,
yes,
and picked the Catalina Foothills High School because it was the only place that was somewhat central that we could seat all 300 that we had to by statute. And I've already had people from the old LD11 is saying, we've got to drive all the way to the Catalina Foothills
mm-hmm.
High School.
Yeah.
But during the, I mean, let's be fair, during the hearings, every Republican got up and said that they wanted to have this district that was crescent shape, and basically we don't fit in with those people. And one woman said it very succinctly, I believe, when she said, you know, when I was a kid, I liked to play with marbles, and I liked to win, and I liked all my marbles to be the same color.
Mm.
And that really stuck with me, obviously, because that's what they were saying. And it was, before being redistricted, a very competitive district. LD10 was a very competitive district before. In fact, we had a Republican as a House representative, state House representative. And we had Martha McSally as the congressional representative. So it was highly competitive. Now it's not.
Well, we'll see what happens going to Brnovich, Republican. Bill, I don't know how this is all going to play out.
I don't either. There was one exception, one Republican that did speak that didn't endorse the reverse crescent shape. He expressed, and I have that on good authority, mm-hmm. he expressed the Oro Valley, these are my communities of interest and so forth. So, mm-hmm. But your point is certainly valid, ma'am.
All right, Bill and Bonnie, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Oh, my goodness. We, Ann and I went up to Mona's Danish Bakery for breakfast yesterday, and Bonnie and Bill, what a wonderful breakfast we had. I had a couple of eggs over easy, some of their beautiful bread, Bill, that they bake up there, and Bonnie, it's just wonderful. And the bacon, my goodness. They do open at 6:30 in the morning, and there's a line waiting to get in. People want their pastries, and they want their coffee. Mona's Danish Bakery, have you been up there yet, Bonnie?
Not yet.
Well, you need to get up there. Bill,
well,
how about you?
My mouth's watering.
Yeah. I have not.
All right.
Well,
but we've got two new people who can come up to Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open Tuesday through Sunday, 6:30 for breakfast. Then they also do lunch. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Monday, they take a much-needed day of rest after their very busy weekend. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bonnie and Bill come back along with this Bill, Bill Buckmaster, on Monday, April 11th. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. That 13-acre site of Green Things is just chocked full of plants ready for spring. Bonnie Heidler and Bill Maynard here. Do either of you, Bill or Bonnie, do any gardening? No. How about
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, and I go there all the time.
So you're saying absolutely you do know about Green Things?
Absolutely.
Well, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. And Bill, what has been your experience over there? Have you found the help to be very knowledgeable?
Yeah, oh, very knowledgeable, you know, extremely friendly and professional and very helpful. I've gone in and said, well, I got this. Oh, I took in a picture, a photograph of a corner that I had and said, they looked at the light and they recommended four or five different plants to me. So it was perfect.
That is one of the strong points about Green Things, such a knowledgeable staff. I never can figure out, Bonnie and Bill, about my roses, when they need to be trimmed back. The people at Green Things always solve that problem. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com. They're in their first year. They did not get off the bus yesterday. They're in their 51st year of business over there. Bonnie Heidler is here. She is the chairwoman of the Pima County Democratic Party. And Bill Maynard, he is the outgoing chair of what used to be LD11. He's now over at LD17, but now he is working on something new. He's the founder of the Northwest Republican Association. If people are interested about what Bill's doing, send me an email at buckmastershow.com and I will get it over to Bill. Bonnie, what do you think of this major, what's being called a major overhaul of Arizona's K through 12 funding? It's really a formula that is being backed by a school choice group and Republican leader of the House Education Committee. It has passed out of the House Appropriation Committee. Are you worried about this?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's set up to, you know, have the public schools fail. It's set up to give charter schools more money. And, you know, the superintendents and the Democratic legislature weren't even consulted or talked to about this. It was a striker bill, so it just kind of gets under the radar and got passed. And it's not what most voters agree on, that the charter schools should get more money than public schools. And, you know, it also goes to, you know, Proposition 208, which we passed as voters, and the governor has decided that, no, we're not going to implement that. So it just feels like the Republican Party at this point is trying to, as they said, make public schools fail. We're already down in the, like, 48th or something
in education.
Yeah,
we're always down in the last few percentages.
And we pay our teachers horribly. And our schools are in disarray. The teachers can't even have supplies for their schools. And this is going to make 121 schools not have any money and potentially close.
This feels like a disaster then for you.
A complete disaster.
Recipe for disaster. Now, on the other side of the table, Bill, you do not feel that at all.
No, I think it's a great bill for any number of reasons. First of all, the money will follow the student. One of the things that you point out right away, first of all, it will not reduce the charter schools do not get those funds that are some of which will be cut from the school districts. So that's, yes, the money will be cut over here, but the money's not over here to start with. The other thing with transportation, transportation will stay the same. That's a big bonus for a lot of the districts, because as their enrollment dwindles, they still get that money from the transportation. That does not go down. So that's a nice benefit there. And the other thing that people fail to point out is that the districts can opt out of it. They can select, they can stay where they are if it's a better deal, and many of them will stay where they are because it is a better deal. So I think it's far more equitable that money should be following the student rather than going to a geographic location necessarily.
So you think this is a funding formula that's a winner?
I love it.
Hmm. Bonnie's shaking her head over here.
Well, I'm not surprised at that.
I don't see it.
There's 1.1 million public school students in this state, and Bonnie, you think that this is not going to help their situation?
Oh, not at all. Again, like I said, it feels like a way to, even though they're hurting right now, to almost get rid of public schools. They won't have the money. Many of them won't be getting the money. As Bill did say, it's got to be cut somewhere. So it gets cut here, you know, from one pocket to pay the other pocket. Money goes somewhere. It comes from somewhere.
And Bill, public schools are hurting, aren't they, in this state?
That depends.
Okay, depends on the district.
That depends, and as I said, as I was saying before, the districts can opt out of it. Mm-hmm. They can keep what they have now if it's a better deal, and many will do that because it is a better deal. It's fairer for the individual student.
Well, Bonnie feels, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you feel it's kind of top heavy, aiming for give the charter schools another advantage.
Yes.
Isn't that what you're saying?
Exactly what I'm saying is that they're going to get the advantage, and the schools that really need it are not going to. They have lights in halls that they can't put light bulbs in because they can't afford light bulbs. Students don't have pencils to be able to write with. It's disastrous right now. What happens?
Bill, is this just kind of a charter school, maybe boondoggle?
No, not at all. The charter schools build their own buildings. Mm-hmm. They service their own buildings, so they're not in that formula at all. But as far as with the public schools, mm-hmm. the public schools do get funding. They're able to do a lot of things as far as bonding and so forth. Well, it does not benefit the charter school.
But one of the things that you just mentioned is school districts can no longer ask voters to approve bonds and budget overrides in this new plan. So that is a problem.
What do you
say, because
Bill?
The override would violate the law technically.
See if we can work in one more item. Then I will have gone through my four items in my stack of stuff. And I think Bill and Bonnie will agree on this one. I'm not sure, but I think so. Thanks to a 1979 Arizona law, in 2022, Republican candidates will be listed ahead of Democrats in 11 of the state's 15 counties. The law might be unconstitutional, and Bonnie, Democrats are entitled to a challenge, in which they're challenging this in the courts. What's your feeling about having Republicans listed first on the ballot?
Well, as we all know, people don't read. Mm-hmm. And so they just don't pay attention. And so as they're going, they go, okay, I'm just going to vote for the first person there, mm-hmm. and go down the ballot. So it does give a slight edge to whoever is on top.
Feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know what the answer is, because if you put a Democrat on top, I feel the same way. So it doesn't seem fair. There's got to be a better way to do this than have only one party be on top.
Now, Bill, you told me before we went on, you're a Georgia native.
Yes.
And you don't know if it's still this way, but you said at one time in Georgia, the two names would be kind of listed together.
They were two columns.
I like that.
I had two columns. They were side by side, went right down into Republican and Democrat.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to vote straight ticket, it made it real easy. Or if you wanted to go. Yeah.
There you go.
That made all the sense in the world.
There's an easy way.
Yeah.
And I agree with the wonderful chair lady here that I don't like it. I don't like it the way it is. And one, I think one of the remedies was to rotate it, rotate the names down. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't. No.
Yeah. No.
Well, I like Bill's suggestion.
I do like that suggestion. Know. It gives everybody equal footing.
Because it just doesn't seem right why one party should be to go ahead. I mean, and then I don't know. Didn't it used to be you just put them in alphabetical order? Wasn't that one time the case? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with that particular challenge. Bonnie Heidler and Bill Maynard, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Bill.
You, sir. Thank
All
you,
right.
ma'am.
The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family, Corinne, his daughter, oh my goodness, they do just a beautiful job in their custom frame mirrors. We've got two of their custom frame mirrors in our bathrooms. They have beautiful art in the gallery, and they, of course, excel in all sorts of picture framing, and Mo will come out gladly. He's got all the equipment. He'll make sure it's up on the wall the way you want it. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and they're really doing the new website, newly reconstituted website, looks great, mosgallery.com. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show on a Monday. We will be right back with our monthly interview from the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the Better Business Bureau's Torch Awards for Ethics, presented by South 32, are right around the corner. In fact, later this month. Pam Krim is with us, the CEO of the BBB, and Pat Reisner, president of the Hermosa Project, South 32. They're the title sponsor for the award ceremony. Pam and Pat, good to see both of you.
Thank you.
Pam, are you excited about this year's event?
We're very excited. It's April 22nd at Casino del Sol. And as always, we celebrate business and nonprofits for their ethics and also millennials in the Spark Award. But this year we have a new award, and that's to celebrate Ellen Curtin, who was a longtime board member.
Loved in this community.
Very loved. And whenever there was any support needed for small business or nonprofits, Ellen always had a hand in that. So our new award is called You Too Can Make a Difference. And that award, for the very first time, will be given out that evening. And it's a very special award to me.
And how many years has this been going on, the Torch Awards?
Oh, I would say in excess of 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's kind of a signature event in
this
community.
It is, and it's our 70th anniversary this year, too.
Wow. Congratulations to the BBB, 70th year. And it's a really good marriage, South 32, Pat. You guys really support BBB.
Yeah, we're very honored to be a part of the Torch Awards. It's our fourth year, and it's one of the very first things we became involved in the community when we came to Southern Arizona. It was mainly just around the alignment in terms of what the Torch Awards celebrate and the links to our values and how we want to do business, and just proud to be a part of it. It's one of the highlights of our year, getting to hear about the businesses and the award winners.
And Pat, we're grateful, too. Thank you very much.
Pat, it's great to have you back. We were here with you a year ago, and you were talking about the Hermosa Project. And let me see if I've got this correct. It is a zinc, lead, silver, magnesium mine development project in Southern Arizona near the town of Patagonia. Give us a little overview of the project right now, Pat.
Yes, you're correct. So it's zinc, silver, lead, and manganese. And it's one of the only, if not the only, project in the U.S. that's well advanced that would produce two minerals that are on the U.S. federal government's critical minerals list, which means they're in short supply in our country, but going to be really important for the nation going forward, mainly because of our actions to address climate change. So we're looking to create domestic supply chains for those important resources that really aren't there today, and create really high-paying quality jobs to lift people up in Santa Cruz County, which is a part of the state that really needs economic development. And at the same time, show a new way to very sustainably produce these minerals that's probably different to what a lot of people have thought about with mining in the past.
Yeah, and I want to go back a little bit with the chronology. South 32 acquiring, South 32 is a global mining and minerals metals company that is based in Australia. But when did you come to this project, Pat? What was South 32's chronology when you came to the project?
Yeah, so South 32 became involved at Hermosa in late 2018 when it purchased Arizona Mining, who was doing some of the early exploration. And so it was just a year later that we became involved with the Torch Award. So it really was early in our tenure here. But we see it as one of the most exciting projects of its type in the world. And the opportunity, as I said, to show how things can be done a bit differently and to help the country shift to more sustainable production I mean, these metals are going to be really important. One of our really strong values is our position on climate change, that it mm-hmm. does need to be addressed. And this is about bringing the right raw materials to market in the United States to allow us to do that.
Yeah, because I think when people think of mining in Arizona, they think of one mineral. They think of copper. But you're talking about really some products here that are essential, aren't they, to the whole supply chain?
Right. So Arizona produces most of the copper that we consume in the United States, but we haven't produced manganese in the United States since the early 1970s. Every electric vehicle battery has manganese in the cathode. So as we start to put more electric vehicles on the road, if you watch the Super Bowl, lots of electric vehicle commercials, we're going to need a lot more manganese.
Saying, I was watching TV last night. Well, it was actually during the Masters tournament. And it's like I remarked to my wife that every automobile ad was pushing electric vehicles. Yeah, so I mean, this is what's going on right now.
Correct. And 83% of the manganese we use in this country comes from China. So this is an opportunity to create the only domestic supply of manganese for electric vehicles and employ a lot of people in Santa Cruz County, where the per capita income is 36% below the state average, and really make a difference in people's lives in doing so.
So where are you with the project right now?
So we've achieved some really important milestones in the last year. We've received the first two state permits for us to get started with some of the early construction works on site. And then in January, we released the results of about 2.5 years of study work we've been doing on the project that really has allowed us to communicate to the community and stakeholders what this will look like, when things will happen, when we would actually move forward, and more importantly, the positive impacts that it's going to have on the region and the local community. So we are now in a final feasibility study for the first stage of development that will conclude the middle of next year, and we're really excited. That's the point at which we expect things to really take off.
We're speaking with Pat Reisner. Pat is the president of the Hermosa Project South 32, the title sponsor for the upcoming awards ceremony, the BBB's Torch Awards for Ethics. Pam Krim is with us as well, the CEO for the BBB. Pat, I want to dig a little deeper into, you said this is a different way of really doing mining than what the consumer may think of when they think about mining.
Yeah, I think primarily on the sustainability front, we think about, you know, mining of the past, large open pits,
huge waste dumps
on the surface. This is an underground mine that will actually create no surface disturbance from extraction of the resource. And the method that we're choosing to do, we actually backfill the areas underground where we've mined the resource so that there's no disturbance on the surface. The second thing that makes it unique is we believe there's a path for us to develop this as the first carbon neutral mining operation in the world. So we're mining metals that are essential to address climate change. We believe that should be done in a climate friendly way. So all electric equipment underground on the surface, renewable power to power the mine, you know, all of that, we believe, will set a new standard for how you sustainably produce these metals.
How did you all know about that this was an area that was very rich in these particular minerals?
Yeah,
is this an area of that has had a history with these particular minerals, Pat?
So there was mining in the Patagonia Mountains going back to the mid-1850s through the Civil War period and then in the early 21st century. But obviously, they didn't have the technology to explore at depths that we can now. So we were watching what was going on in this space, and this is a suite of metals in the U.S. that the company feels is very important. So as these additional resources were starting to be discovered, we decided it was something we really wanted to be a part of and to come be a part of the business community here in Southern Arizona.
And you touched on something so important, the economic development. Would you again give us kind of the footprint of the economic development, what this means for specifically Santa Cruz County?
Right. As you know, it's one of the poorest counties in the state in terms
yes,
of the
is.
Resources it has.
Yes, it is.
So we've recently done an economic impact study that shows that it'll grow the economic output of Santa Cruz County by about 20%. Just the first stage of development will be equal to about 20% of the current economic output of the county. Over 1,600 jobs in the county, which is equivalent to about 10% of the current county's total workforce.
When do those? When would you get to that kind of a level?
Well, we hope from the middle of next year as we start to ramp up the development. We're starting some construction on site now and growing our employment now, but from the middle of next year, it will really increase. We have the opportunity with the first stage of development to double the property tax intake that the county has. From just the first stage of development, which mostly goes to schools and county services, so definitely benefits the citizens.
All right. Good update, Pat Reisner, president of the Hermosa Project, South 32, the title sponsor for the award ceremony for the BBB Torch Awards for Ethics. One more quick question I'm curious about. At Hermosa, was that a landmark area? How did that name come about?
Well, obviously, we know the translation, and it is a beautiful area,
probably the most
beautiful area I've ever worked in, so it's very appropriate in that sense. But there was a historic mining operation in the area very close to where we are named Hermosa,
okay.
And so we've kind of carried that nostalgic name through. So,
Pat, great to see you. And Pam, some final words about the Torch Awards for Ethics.
Well, first of all, thanks again to South 32, and I think from the listeners, they can understand why we feel there's such an honored alignment with a company such as South 32. The evening will be April 22nd at 5:30, and you can find out more information and all the finalists. We have 18 of them. You can find that at bbb.org/Tucson Torch.
Perfect. Pam, great to see you. Thank you
very
much.
Great to see you.
Again, Pat, good to see you.
Thank you.
We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Perfect time of year to take that three-hour drive east of Tucson. How about a spring visit over there during right before Easter? It'd be a great weekend to get in the car and go do something. And I think you would enjoy it. And I know you will enjoy it because we send so many of our listeners there. They all have a great time. They do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, or they just hang out in historic Silver City. Start your planning by visiting Southwest New Mexico. Just spell that out, .org, where to stay and what to do, covered very amply at that particular website. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Let's go now on the live line for his monthly visit to our program, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute for 50 years, a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, just back from my hometown of Chicago, Illinois. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great, Bill, but I haven't been director for 50 years. I just wanted to tell people.
No.
It's going to sound. I'm much younger.
Are much younger. However, there are folks like Dr. Bill Hartman who have been around, and Bill still comes to work every day or works whatever. And
Bill and Don Davis.
Yeah.
Two of our founders still are here.
And that is very cool in itself. I've got a couple of items on the agenda. I wanted to touch on this this first kind of private mission. This is a like private crew. These people that are up there at the space station, they paid $55 million each for a ride up to the space station and for I think about a week up there.
Yeah, eight days. They're going to be
8 days.
Up there. And you know, whereas I don't think that I could do that on my allowance. that it's still having a platform. You know, where you know, commercial people could go up and make use of the facility for, you know, experimentation for business back down on Earth. You know, that's kind of cool. And one of the experiments that they're doing is where they take a bunch of tiles and it itself builds a facility. In there, it becomes a self-organizing type of a different way of putting together structures in space, and so they get to test it up there in zero gravity. So it's like, okay, that's very interesting, and that's something that would be difficult to do on the Earth. You really need to be able to go someplace off the Earth to test some of this tech.
I imagine these guys. I assume that's what's for. Private astronauts, they must have gone through some kind of rigorous training before taking the trip.
Yeah, they went through about 2 years of training beforehand, and one of them is a former astronaut, I do believe, a NASA astronaut for a couple of decades, and so has experience, you know, and it's a but because yeah, I mean it's still a location where one has to be very careful about a lot of things and know how to do things right, and because there's not a lot of ERs around the corner that you can go to very easily.
No, and you know you might not want to start like pulling on different levers or levers whatever and pushing a bunch of buttons. Maybe I'll try this out.
I mean, and certainly the training is more sophisticated than that. But you know, it's great that and maybe this is something to contemplate for the future. In having a space up there, a facility up there, where companies, you know, if they pay SpaceX to launch and all that stuff, can put people up there to run experiments that need those kinds of conditions for their business development plans.
Mark Sykes with us. And I saw this story also, Mark, that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Amazon announced last week it's expanding into space, saying it wants to launch thousands of satellites. Are you at all worried about, I guess, what you could call a traffic jam in the final frontier?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of I was actually speaking to a scientist who's joined us from the University of Arizona, Kat Volk, who's a dynamicist, very, very preeminent, and about my concerns about, like, the Starlink system, which is SpaceX's system for internet coverage around the Earth. And it's a very pretty system. You know, they launched thousands of satellites. They're all up at about altitudes of 550 kilometers. They form kind of a grid. If you were to trace out their orbits, they have a nice little grid. So you can see, oh, over this part of the Earth, it's, as it's moving around, you get good coverage. Well, the problem is that when you have satellites in that kind of an orbital configuration, you have the potential problem of, well, things running into each other, or what happened, and the funny thing was, there's a story on NPR just a few days ago talking about this and about how their system last year had something like 7,000 little orbital corrections to make of the thousands of satellites up there last year for collision avoidance. Now, if your communication breaks down on one of these guys, or the thrusters don't work to move it out of the way, or if something bad were to happen, like one of these 200-kilogram satellites gets smashed by a meteor,
right,
coming in,
yeah,
or a bad actor that sends a satellite kill vehicle up there, like the Chinese did just a few years ago with another satellite, causing a bunch of debris.
Hmm.
That debris spreads out along the orbit, and then those orbits differentially precess, and it starts running into the other satellites in this whole matrix. And so I was talking to the scientists a few weeks ago, about we should simulate this, because I want to see whether it would take a year or 2 years to create a complete cloud of unusable space up there from orbital debris. But that kind of thing can happen. And we see it in the asteroid belt. This is something that I did my early research on. There's these rings of dust out in the asteroid belt caused by an asteroid breaking up, the debris, you know, moving around to a pattern very much like these satellites around the Earth, and then smashing into each other and creating this cloud of dust that we see as what we're called asteroid dust bands. And so we see this in nature, and now we are reproducing the experiment around the Earth. Oh, and if these things go, then Hubble gets taken out because it's at the same altitude.
Oh boy!
So, So now I think there's ways of fixing this, but it would be interesting to simulate this. And the experts that were on the radio talking about this, I think they were looking at it like I was, in that, oh, I'm seeing this, and I'm seeing that this could be a serious problem, but they weren't talking about any simulations that have been done yet.
Mark,
Mark,
let me ask you, what's the estimate on how many of these satellites are currently up in space? Does anyone know that figure? Is it just a guesstimate?
I would say like 14,000 or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. And there's going to be more, a lot more. And so, so it's these things, you can't depend on being able to move things out of the way all the time, because one thing that we know is that there are times when systems don't work. And if the result of a system not working is that you could have a collision that creates a huge debris cloud, which spreads around and starts causing damage to more satellites and causing more debris to fill up this space, then that would be a problem. So really nice system.
A lot of people.
My brother was using it in a remote part of Oregon and worked great. They're using it in Ukraine right now. But it may be it may not last long.
A lot of people saying, "Where's my internet?" All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Your website is psi for planetary science institute.edu. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. That's going to do it for a content heavy, a lot of content in a 1 hour period. That's what we try to strive for each Monday through Friday on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to John, engineering and producing the show. Dave Ramsey, his popular show about money, is next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.